I think there's a certain kind of blessing that comes in times of recession and depression that you will not have in times of prosperity. I think there's a certain kind of blessing. Yes, I said blessing. Yes, I said blessing. That comes in times of illness that does not come in the times of health. I think there is a certain kind of blessing that comes when loved ones have passed away that does not come when all is well. May I say this? It may be that life for you has been all noontime thus far, but your midnights will come. It may be that life for you has been all sunshine, but your cloudy days will come. Soon the wreath will hang from your door. Soon the doctor's message will come to your ears. Soon problems, heartache, maybe divorce, maybe a wayward child, maybe a child with an incurable illness, as far as men count incurable. But the day is going to come. It may be that all is laughter now. It may be that your eyes do not know what it is to form a tear. It may be that everything has been on topside, but adversity will come. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the opportunity of adversity. You know, it'd be a shame for us to enjoy the opportunities of plenty and prosperity and then let the recession end, if it does, and for us once again as a nation to return to prosperity and for us to have missed the unique joys of adversity and recession. My heart goes out today to that great army of young men, young married men, in Howells Anderson College. My heart goes out to those young men who get up in the morning early, go to college, and rush from the chapel at college to a job where they work much of the night, who see their children just a little bit a day, if at all, and who get 2 or 3 or 4 hours sleep at night, and sometimes none at all. And then on Saturdays, many of them out in the bus ministry. My heart goes out to those fine young men who keep on going. My heart goes out to those wives of those men who hardly see them, who married your guy to be with him, only to find that you're with him more when you're courting him than you are when you're married to him. My heart goes out to that army of ladies in this room today and in this church, wives of our college students, who without complaint keep on going. Rear the children most of the time by yourself. Live in some little apartment somewhere that is only a shadow of what you could have if your husband were not training for the ministry. My heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to their children who see so little of Dad. Dad comes home and spanks them and goes on. Comes home and spanks Mother and goes on. My heart goes out to those children. My heart goes out the most to those young wives who are missing the opportunity of their lives to be a help. My heart goes out to that young wife who will never be able to say someday, I stood beside my husband in adversity. My heart goes out to that little embryological Jezebel who knows nothing about loyalty to her husband in these difficult days. The one who complains. The one who has such an opportunity to someday say to a great man of God, I stood by you and it was tough. someday to be able to point a man of God who has a little more time than he once had to say, we didn't have any money to buy me new clothes. I stood beside you. I didn't complain. I loved you. I prayed for you. I encouraged you. I never complained. Oh, some of you young ladies are missing the opportunity of a lifetime. There are certain opportunities of adversity that good times do not offer. There are certain opportunities and privileges of recession that prosperity knows nothing about. My heart goes out most to those complainers, those who are missing their opportunity, those like John Wesley's wife. John Wesley's wife never could say, I helped make him. I stood by him in the dark days. No, she did nothing but nag at him in the early days and cause him discomfort and heartache and heartbreak. Abraham Lincoln's wife the same way. And Job's wife. My, what an opportunity she had. Here's the greatest Christian on the face of the earth. Here's the guy that stood the test. And Job's wife could have said, honey, I'm with you. Boy, I love you. You're the greatest guy in the whole world. Why, she could have said, tell me another man that could have lost all his health, his wealth, and still have said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why, she could have put her arm around Job, give a big old kiss, and said, honey, I'm proud of you. Show me another man like you that could have lost his children and lost his health and lost his wealth and yet retained his integrity. But she missed the great... Listen, think what the Bible could have said about her. She didn't know she was being listened to by the microphone or being recorded by the microphones of deity. She did not know the microphone of eternity was being placed at her lips. Why, what an opportunity she had. And I'll even tell you something. I don't feel near as sorry this morning for those little ladies who are taking it like troopers, who have suffering and loneliness and a heavy load to carry. But they're taking it, standing beside their guy. Let me say a word. If your guy's having trouble today, this is your opportunity to be an encouragement to him. Love him more than you ever loved him. Care for him more than you ever cared for him. Boost him more than you ever boosted. This is the opportunity of adversity. My heart goes out today to that army of ladies in this room who are rearing children by themselves. There are dozens of them whose husbands have left them to make it on their own, or whose husbands have been taken prematurely by death. And I'm, in many cases, I'm sort of a substitute daddy to try to help the kids, and not unusual for somebody to bring a child in and say, Brother Hiles, my boy wasn't a good boy this week. Would you spank him for him? Now, Mayor, you tell the health department about that, and I'll not vote for you next time. In the first place, none of the health department's business if we spank a child, as long as we don't abuse the child. But anyway, I'm saying that my heart goes out to those mothers who have to make ends meet and have to hear little children say, Mommy, can I have some money? And the mother with a tear in her eye and a broken heart has to say no when she'd like for her child to have all the other children have. And yet my heart goes out. That great army, and some of the finest people in this room this morning, are those little mothers who are rearing their children by themselves. My heart goes out to the children who have no dads at home. They come to my office every week. And I say, now look, I want you to know if you ever need a daddy, come to see Brother Hiles. I want you to know if you ever need advice or help that your dad could give, come to see me. And I always tell them, I didn't for much of my life. I didn't have a daddy at home, and most of it. And I understand how you feel. My heart goes out to those children. But most of all, my heart goes out to those children who are missing a tremendous opportunity. You know, when I was a youngster and my dad left home, did you know I did not look at it as being the kind of a thing that was bad? I realized, now then, my mother needs me more than most mothers need their son. And I have an opportunity to encourage my mother and help my mother and be a strength to my mother. I can be the man of the house now because my mother needs me. Let me tell you something. There are opportunities that you young people have that have no dad at home that young folks don't have that have dad at home. Now, to be sure, there are advantages about having your dad at home. But there are also advantages about not having your dad at home. They're unique opportunities, unique privileges in the times of adversity.
Why, you ought to say this morning, if your dad isn't home, my mother needs me, and I'm privileged. I get to be the man of the house, or I get to help my mother. Of course, you don't can't have things you wish you could have. I was thinking a while ago, my sister, when she was out of high school, she graduated just 16 or 17, and had 11 years back in those days in school instead of 12. But Earlene went to work at the Pollock Paper Company for $10 a week. And every week after she got paid on Saturday, back in those days everybody got paid on Saturday. We called it Saturday. A lot of folks call it Saturday. They can't pronounce Saturday. But every Saturday she'd get paid $10, and she'd always bring me something when she came. Maybe one week a baseball, and we'd knock the stuffings out of it on Monday, and then we'd wrap it in tar. Remember those old tar-covered baseballs? Wrap it in tar. Or we'd put it inside a sock, and you can put it what's left of inside a sock. But every week, are you listening? Every week, a baseball bat, or a baseball, or a glove, every week. And my dad was gone. And I was thinking about the first bicycle I ever had, a Western Flyer bicycle. Came from Western Auto Store. My sister bought it for me. But I also remember the day that I wanted to join the YMCA. And we gathered around the family circle and put all the money we had, and we didn't have enough money to join the YMCA. Then it was the day I won't take guitar lessons. And, oh, thank God, didn't have to. But anyway, I won't take guitar lessons. There's nothing wrong with playing guitar, but all my friends were taking guitar lessons, and I won't take guitar. And we gathered around the family circle, and I can recall my mother weeping, and she had said, "Son, I'm sorry. We don't have any money. I just can't do it." And I remember those days. Ah, but those were days of opportunity. Those were days when Mama needed a hug more than she needed a hug other times. Those were days when Mama needed a kiss on the cheek. Those were days of opportunity. And I'm a little tired of this old spoiled generation in America. Oh, we have it so bad. Why, the poor Chrysler workers in Canada, they're about to starve to death. And the poor National Football League players, we ought to take an offering for them and send them some money. They're only making $100,000 a year, and Walter Payton's down to $600,000 a year. We ought to take an offering, give us some money. Let me tell you something. There's not enough money in this world to buy the years of opportunity that I had in adversity. I'm saying this morning, don't miss it. Don't miss it. My heart goes out today to those men who come home empty-handed after looking for a job all day long. And they come home day after day and no job. And they have to look at their families and say, "Are you listening?" And say, "I can't provide for you." And day after day, they come home. And then finally have to swallow their pride and take some help or go on welfare or get some food stamps or take friends have to help them. And my heart goes out to those ladies that their wives that do not know what it is to buy a new dress. You ladies that get to buy new dresses, you ought to jump up and down and thank God for His goodness to you. There are women in this church grown women who never owned a brand new dress. And if they got the other day, a missionary and his wife came to visit us. And we sent her out on Monday and bought her a nice new dress. And she wrote me a note and she said, "Dear Dr. Hiles, that's the first new dress I ever had in my life. That's the first new dress I ever had." And yet the truth is, my heart goes out to her. But most of all, my heart goes out to those ladies who know nothing but complaining. I mean, if it's cold, it's too cold. If it's hot, it's too hot. In the wintertime, wish it were summertime. The summertime, it's so hot and it's so humid and so forth. I'm saying my heart goes out to those poor, unfortunate people who never have seen the joys and privileges and opportunities of adversity. Oh, listen, Brother John, I can point all over this room today to ladies whose husbands are unemployed. But little wives walk up, put their arms around them and say, "Honey, you're the greatest guy in all, and we're going to make it. We're just going to make it. We're going to make it." I know men in this room this morning whose hearts are broken looking for jobs, and yet their spirit is buoyed by wives who stand beside them. Why? Because, listen, wives, you know, you have to stand beside them. Fella, Mrs. Payton doesn't have to get beside Walter and say, I'm for you, Walter. I don't care if you are just making $600,000 a year. I'm for you. I don't imagine Mrs. Rockefeller has to say, "Rocky, old boy, I want you to know, through thick and thin, I'm for you." But the honest truth is, you ladies this morning, whose husbands are having it tough, you have an opportunity. And someday, when it's all over, your husband can say, "Thank God for my wife.
she stood beside me. The opportunity of adversity. I thank God this morning. My heart goes out to those shut-ins, those dear people up in years who've been felled by stroke or sugar diabetes or heart failure or something, or old age, and now they're shut in. And my heart goes out to those children who have to sacrifice to see to it that the shut-in mother or father is cared for. But my heart goes out more than that to those of you who've been privileged to have a mother or a father to live past 70 and they're still with you and still alive. My heart goes out to those of you who don't have room for them in your house or don't have enough money to take care of them. I'll tell you every once in a while, some dear lady will come in and I'll say, she'll say, well, I Brother Hyde, pray for me. I don't have any place to live or any food to eat. And I'll say, well, do you have any children? Well, she says, yes, we have 3 children, but, you know, they have their own families, and they have their own financial responsibilities. I've got more respect for a pimp than somebody won't take care of their aged mom or dad. You sorry specimen of humanity. You reproach to society. I mean, here you have an art. Listen, a lot of folks will never have the opportunity to say, thank you, mother. Now that I could not care for myself, you cared for me. Now that you cannot care for yourself, I'll care for you. I mean, you have the opportunity. Your mother's alive in God's name. Don't miss the opportunity of adversity. I feel sympathy today for those young ladies who don't know where the college bill is coming from. Every month it comes to the deadline. And every month they don't know where it's going to come from. It looks like they're going to have to be kicked out of school. And yet they go to their knees and they say, God, oh God, supply my needs. I feel sorry for those kids. I feel sorry for them more than those that whose mothers and dads send a check every month and pay their college bill. And all they have to do is just go to college and try to work hard and study. But there's some that have to wait on table and clean floors, scrub floors. I feel it. My heart goes out to them, but my heart goes out more to that young lady who has the same problem, but she quits, turns back, goes home. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. Listen, I was reared in poverty. I know what it is to see my mother put me to bed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because there's no wood for the stove and no food for supper. I know what it is. See my mother go outside and walk down the street and knock on doors and beg for some money. Beg! I've seen my mother more than one time go ask for somebody, but can I have a quarter? My boy's hungry. I don't care a thing about myself. I know what it is. But I also serve notice on you today that my mother and I are closer today because of it. I want to serve notice on you today that poverty is not so bad. I want to serve notice on you today that adversity is not so bad. I said to a young lady this week, I said, I'd pity you if you didn't pity yourself. I'd feel sorry for you if you didn't feel sorry for yourself. But I said, there you sit with a husband who's holding down 2 jobs. He's gone to school 4 or 5 years, and he's gone to school full-time loading college, and then he's worked hard to keep food on the table, and now he's holding down 2 jobs to try to get the bills paid off. And there you do, you nag, and I want a bigger apartment, and I want better food, and I want more time. I said, you have the opportunity of your life. Put your arm around him and say, I appreciate you for working 2 jobs. I appreciate you because you've taken the stand to pay the debts. I get lonesome for you, and I get hungry to see you, but I appreciate you. What an opportunity that adversity brings. You know adversity brings opportunities to trust God. There's no way a person with a table covered with plenty can trust God like a person with a table empty. Adversity! Listen, you know what? America had 10 times the character in the Depression she has today. Why, I doubt if we get enough fellows to join the armed forces to defend us in a war, in a ground war. And one of the tragedies is the fact young men, pardon me, young cowards can refuse to defend their country and gain amnesty for the same country. We had character back in those days.
You say, I'm tired of hearing about the old days. Then get you some whippersnapper hippie preacher that can tell you about the advantages of being a draft dodger and a coward and a rebel and a hippie. Oh, God, help us to stop to realize that there is a certain glow and gleam and glisten and glitter about adversity that you'll never find in days of prosperity. I'm not suggesting we all quit our jobs. I'm not suggesting we all starve to death. I'm not wishing every woman were a widow, every child were an orphan. I'll guarantee you one thing. Some of you kids that have two parents at home, sitting there talking right now, not listening to a thing I'm saying, might do you good to go down to Roloff's home for a while and be an orphan. I saw those kids, Dr. Evans, file in on Brother Roloff's bed. All of them with no place to go. And the man that loved them had been taken in death. But I saw them. I saw their tears. I saw their spirit. I saw their Bibles. And I said, you know, maybe it'd be better if some of our spoiled kids didn't have a mom and dad. I'm saying adversity. Don't miss it. Hey, folks, we're having a recession. Don't miss it. Wives, here's your chance. You'll never have it in prosperity. Don't miss it. Hey, people unemployed, hey, here's your chance to prove there's a God in heaven. Don't miss it. What an opportunity it brings to show friendship, to stand together. What an opportunity Job had. It wouldn't even be a book of Job if adversity hadn't come. We've never heard, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, if adversity hadn't come. We had never heard, I know that my Redeemer liveth, he shall stand at the latter day. We would never heard that if adversity hadn't have come. Don't pity yourself and indulge in self-pity and in self-sympathy. Don't do it. Stand on your feet and say, okay, if I have plenty, I'll find advantages there. If I have nothing, I'll find advantages there. The opportunity of adversity. There's some folks in this room this morning who feel a unique tie. You know why? Because 23 years ago, when this church had its rocky road, we stuck together. And there's some people in this room that never will feel that unique tie that we have because we have memories and adversity. There are some folks in this room that have a tie that others will not have because we stood out there in 1964 and saw half of our property, half our buildings burned and completely gutted by fire. And we got here and tried to rebuild and tried to improvise. And we went through some trials, and we have some things in common other folks don't have. Let me tell you something. Thank God for the noondays, but thank God for the midnights. Thank God for the sunshine, but thank God for the shadow. Thank God for life, but thank God for health. Yeah. Thank God for health, but thank God for sickness. Thank God for victory, but thank God for defeat. Thank God for smooth road, but thank God for rough road, because there is something we can get now. We'll never be able to get again. Enjoy it. Use it. Opportunities. As I look back over a life of 56 years, I thank God for plenty. But as Thanksgiving Day comes again, I thank God for that Thanksgiving Day, Mayor. When my little mother sitting here now, almost 95 years of age, bowed her head and thanked God for the food with not one fried potato on the table, that's all. My sister was out eating with a friend. I always hated my sister. She was older than I. She had friends, and I sat there with Mama and enjoyed our poverty. I thank God for that Thanksgiving Day. And my mother fried that potato and bowed her head and thanked God for the food. One fried potato. And then she said, dear God, I don't ask for anything for myself, but she said, feed my boy, feed my boy. While my mother was asking the blessing on Thanksgiving Day in 1932, somebody knocked on the door while she was praying. And she went to the door and they said, there's a Thanksgiving basket from the Fernwood Baptist Church.
my mother unpacked turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie and a pecan pie and sweet potatoes and put them on the table, a big Thanksgiving meal. And she clapped her hands and danced around that table saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Say, what did you do? I ate. You say, didn't you praise the Lord? Yes, mother praised the Lord before she ate, but I always praise the Lord better on a full stomach than an empty stomach. If we hadn't have been poor, we couldn't have found out there was a God like that. I've seen my mother bow her head time and time again and thank God for the food. We didn't have any food. But there's one thing the Depression taught me. There is a living God. I learned it. Some of you little spoiled brats that live on your allowance, you don't know there's a living God. You can't help it because of prosperity. But I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about those of you that are on a pity trip. Self-pity. And I don't have it very good. Let me tell you something. There are some things that you're learning in adversity you'll never know unless you have it. What opportunities adversity brings. I thank God for these 22 years of peace we've had in this church. Did you know, Dr. Evans, did you know in the last 22 years there's not been a negative vote on the floor of this church? In 22 years, look at me. We built all these buildings. Tore one down. Bought all this property. As everybody says, St. Margaret's and First Baptist are taking up the whole downtown. Nobody else wants it. We're taking it. All this property. We built a grade school. We built a junior high school. A high school. We built the second largest independent Baptist college, Fundamental Baptist College in the world. I mean, we've gone from a budget of $1,200 a week until it takes us, Mayor, today, $37,000 a day, not a week, a day, to operate the ministries here. And in all of that, we never had one negative vote on the floor of this church. Who was it? Dr. Curtis Hudson said... He had gone several years the same way. And he said, one day a lawyer stood up and said, I vote no. And Dr. Hudson said, you have a right to vote no. But why are you voting no? He said, this lawyer said, Pastor, I agree with the motion. But I just wanted to see how it would sound if somebody voted no to something here in this church. Now some nut will do it the next time we have a meeting here. Won't you? I thank God for these years of peace and harmony. And though I'm sure there are things that a lot of folks wouldn't like about this church and some of our members wish could change, I'm sure of that. But the truth is, there's not a church on the face of the earth any more united than this church is today. And I thank God for that, but I want to say this. I thank God for those days when some of you had to come to me and put your arm on my shoulder, some of you men, and you said, Preacher, I'm with you. I'm for you. I thank God for the day when Ed Roush stood up in front of the church and said, I don't understand him either. But he's our preacher. We called him, and I think we ought to give him a chance. I thank God for those times when our tears mingled and our hearts broke. I thank God for those times when you risk your neck and some of you risk your friends for this preacher. I wouldn't trade them for the world. And I thank God for the fire. I thank God for the adversity. As I look back over my life, funny thing about it, those mountains that I thought I saw have become valleys as I look back. And those valleys that I thought I was enduring have become mountains as I look back. The mountain peaks of my life have been the valleys. The brightest sunshine I've ever seen was in the shade. The greatest victories I've ever known were in defeat. And the happiest days I've ever seen, I saw through tear-stained eyes. Look at me, and I'm through. A lot of you have a lot of problems. many of your fellows were moistened by heartbreaking tears last night. You don't understand it. If you were a pastor of this church, you understand it. But you don't understand it. They come across, they come through my office door, burdens and burdens and burdens and burdens. Problems and heartaches. Don't miss the joys of them. This week, I was up in Washington State, Pasco, Washington. The pastor there, good friend of mine, named Dallas Dobson, one of the finest men I know. Dallas Dobson was an old fellow, weighed almost 400 pounds. Used to be a state patrolman down in Mississippi. And he's more Mississippi than Mississippi is. He's more southern than the south is. He's more hillbilly than hillbilly. Took off for Washington State, going to go to Seattle to build a church. Ran out of money in Pasco. Stopped and built a church in Pasco. Big old fellow, he's got a heart as big as his body. Had a pain in his back 3 years ago. Went to check it and they found he had a kidney stone. One of his kidneys, but then they x-rayed both of his kidneys and found a cancer in the kidney that wasn't hurting. Took the cancer out. The church has been going through it. No problem. Love each other. Such unity. And I was out this last week, and Wednesday is going to have his checkup to see if the other one kidney, take him out now. See if the other kidney was going to be, it would have cancer. And he was apprehensive on Monday. Tuesday, I said, Dallas, how you feel? He said, I'm up and down. I said, Miss Dobson, how do you feel? She said, some days I feel like it's going to be okay, and some days I feel like I can bear it. Early Wednesday morning, I left, and when I was leaving, he was going to have his checkup. I called Thursday. I said, Brother Dobson, have you heard the report? He said, yes. And I said, what was it? And he said, there's no cancer. There's no cancer. I bet you one thing. I bet that big old boy is closer to God than most of us today who are healthy. Don't miss adversity. It has many wonderful opportunities. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. That's where you find Jesus. Check in the Bible, the people that got to see Jesus. Stephen saw him. When? He's outside the city, being stoned. Jacob saw him. When? On his lonely trip away from home, going to Haran. Joshua saw him. When? When the battle was tomorrow and the unseen captain came and Joshua saw Jesus. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw him. When? When they were in the fiery furnace. Paul saw him. When? When he was stricken down on the road to Damascus. And there'll never be a sweeter day than that day that you need him most. And there'll never be a more precious experience. And that day when your face is against the wall and you can't see your hand for the and then you can say, standing somewhere in the shadows you will find him and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Mrs. Job, you blew it. You blew it. Mrs. Job, God bless you. You blew it. You blew it. You had a chance to be known in history. And you said, oh, to curse God and die. Oh, Mrs. Job, you blew it. You blew it. You blew it. You blew it.